It was a revolution in painting. Jackson Pollock said it in his dry, flat, very American voice.
I like to use a dripping, fluid paint.
In a documentary film on his life and work.
A method of painting is the natural growth out of a need. I want to express my feelings rather than illustrate them.
To express one's feelings rather than illustrate them. That's a very post-World War II American idea, and a radical one. It dominated New York and later the world, starting in about 1946. From still life, landscape, surrealism, and social realism, to abstraction, spontaneity, jazz-like explorations of new forms. It was all happening in about a five-block radius in the Village in the late 40s and early 50s.
I was in New York right after the Second World War.
Charles Cajori has been a painter since he was in high school. In New York in the 40s, he got to know many of the people they called abstract expressionists, for lack of a better name. At first, he was taking art courses up at Columbia on the GI Bill.
But I began to realize something was happening downtown.
I don't know when I became professional. I've been an artist ever since I can remember, quite willing to sell anything.
Mary Abbott set up a studio in her loft on 10th Street in 1946.
Everyone had a loft or just rooms, cold water flats and so forth.
You could live very, very cheaply. My rent for a number of years was $15 a month.
This something happening downtown was an explosion of artistic energy. It's been mythologized to the point of caricature, with Pollock as the chosen symbol and idol. Bad boy behavior, infantile rant.
No!
As in the film Pollock with Ed Harris. Rampant sexism, drunken brawls at the Cedar Tavern, and all the rest.
Krupa! That guy cooks.
A lot of it, according to those who lived it, was true. Certainly, there were hangouts.
Five Spot, the Cedar, and so forth. Yes, that's where we met. No one had enough money to have people at home and have liquor and so forth.
And there was a small-town camaraderie, because the art world was small. People just beginning to reassemble after the war. Some of them former WPA artists who'd worked before the war adorning and enhancing public buildings for $23 a week. Others were new to the artist's life, but they knew enough to head to downtown Manhattan.
There was a coffee shop on 8th Street, and I was having breakfast, and a man came in, sat down next to me, and we both had paint on our clothes, and he turned to me and said, "You're a painter," and I said, "Well, I'm just trying." And he said, "Oh, well, I'm a painter, too. Won't you come over and see my studio on 9th Street?" And it was Franz Klein.
Klein became well known for the abstract black and white paintings he did in that period. He reintroduced color into his work in the 50s. He and Cajori became friends. So there was Klein, Pollock was in the group, Willem de Kooning, Barnett Newman, Ad Reinhardt, Clifford Still, some women too, Lee Krasner, Grace Hartigan, and the myths about rampant sexism? Well, the potential was there. But Mary Abbott remembers it did depend on the artist.
I knew Bill de Kooning, and I knew Pollock, sort of. I didn't get on very well with him, because his approach was to throw me on the floor and get on top of me, which I didn't like much. It wasn't my idea of conversation. But I got on with Bill, and I learned a lot from Bill.
She admits under the circumstances it was hard at that time to be taken seriously as a painter.
Because I was pretty and so forth, and that's all they thought of. Eventually, I made them take it seriously.
A painter is a kind of choreographer of space. He creates kind of a dance of elements, of forms.
Barnett Newman, interviewed in a documentary film called Painter's Painting. Known for his large, smooth, monochromatic canvases with contrasting strips of color.
There's no question that my work and the work of the men I respect took a revolutionary position, you might say, against the bourgeois notion of what a painting is as an object.
In the middle of the social politics, the bars, the swagger of the painters, there was also the art itself and the ongoing debate about it. And that was real, too. Abstraction on this level split the art world apart. Groups formed. They talked and argued about what to paint and whether to paint from life. Painters chose one side or the other. Mary Abbott went over to the abstract side and flourished.
Instead of drawing a thing outside of you, that you look at, you draw from yourself. I mean, you begin with a mark on a page and you go on from there. It isn't copying something. It isn't looking outside of you.
It was all about the image, the figure, or the absence of it. First, some artists stripped their art of any relationship to real objects or figures. After experimenting with that, they'd turn around and put the figure back in again, as de Kooning did with his woman paintings.
And that provoked a tremendous amount of discussion and argument about whether the figure should be in painting at all.
Movies, New Yorker cartoons, radio shows, and humorists poked fun at abstract art, which even a child could make, they said. Meanwhile, everybody took sides, the dealers, the critics, and the artists fought it out for real.
I was in the Cedar Bar, and Pollock came in and looked at de Kooning and said, oh, I see you're pushing the paint around. And de Kooning hit him. You see, and that everybody pulled them apart, and pretty soon we're sharing drinks again. But you know, there was a lot of high feeling and intellectual endeavor in it.
High feeling, maybe because at this moment the eyes of the whole world were not on Paris, formerly the center of all art. They were on New York, and on this group of painters, who were living and working in a way that just couldn't have been real, except that it seems it was.
I believe in the questions that they posed, because that's finally what they did.
Posing questions. That is exactly what art and New York are supposed to do. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkill.